Welcome to CBC Next. I'm here with Pastor Steve Proctor, and today we're going to talk about depression. And we started that conversation yesterday, or this last Sunday, and man, it's a heavy subject to talk about. There's so much that goes into a conversation about depression for many people. And I know for a long time in churches that I was around, people just kind of acted like you should just get over it, mm-hmm. you know, that's a hard thing to tell somebody though, that wants really to get over yeah. it, you know, and wants to get out of it. So what have you learned over your years of being a pastor, about depression?
Well, in 48 years of ministry, I've never seen so many people that are struggling with this.
Yeah.
And Phil, I don't know if that's because people are more ready to admit it in this
sure,
culture
right.
or, and back in days gone by, they just weren't allowed to admit it because they were considered less than spiritual. So I don't know if it's because people are more ready to admit it now or if there actually is more depression, but either way, it's a major problem that yeah. has to be dealt with. And of course, as believers, we want to deal with all of our problems from a biblical perspective.
Right.
But it's been my experience. Let me just begin with a testimony. Our family is no stranger to depression, mm-hmm. and it's been my experience that depression generally, and you mentioned this yesterday in your sermon, so I'm not telling you anything new, but it's been my experience that depression generally comes from one of three places. It either comes from the body, from the soul, or from the spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, we're created in the image of God. God is a Trinity, therefore we are a Trinity. Mm-hmm. We are a body that connects with the environment, with the five senses, that's the physical. Mm-hmm. We are a soul that connects with the emotional, that's the heart, the mind, and the will.
Right.
So we have a physical nature, an emotional nature, but then we have a spiritual nature, and that's the spirit that connects with God. And so we have a body. Inside that body is a soul. Inside that soul is a spirit. And it's been my experience personally and dealing with other people that this thing we call depression can come from one of those three places.
Right.
If it's a physical connection and if it's a physical cause, we need a good medical doctor mm-hmm. or a good psychopharmacologist mm-hmm. or a good psychiatrist.
Right.
If it's an emotional problem, we need a good counselor mm-hmm. and we need to make sure that it's a biblical counselor. And if it's a spiritual problem, then of course we need a pastor who can mm-hmm. guide us through those spiritual difficulties. And so I think the first step towards dealing with depression is determining the root cause. Mm-hmm. Is this a physical mm-hmm. problem? Is this an emotional problem? Or is this a spiritual problem?
Right.
Now, if it's a physical problem, unfortunately, there are a lot of pastors, a lot of men of God who deny that there could be a physical cause of depression.
Right.
They think that everything comes from the spirit.
Sure.
I don't ascribe to that.
Right.
I think that our body is comprised of organs, and any of those organs, because our bodies are sold under sin,
right.
because of our fallen nature, I believe that any of those organs are capable of a malfunction.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If the pancreas malfunctions, the result is diabetes. Mm. So what do? We take insulin,
right.
and there's no shame in that.
Right, yeah.
If the lungs malfunction, then the result might be COPD.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take oxygen, and there's no shame in that.
Right.
But for some reason, if the brain malfunctions,
yeah.
and we give somebody a medication to help that, then we heap shame upon
mm-hmm.
them. And we say, well, you shouldn't have to take medication if you were right with God, if you prayed more, if you did this, if you did that.
Right.
But I have learned that there can be, and I know you mentioned this yesterday mm-hmm. because I listened to the message and it was excellent, there can be a physical cause. I'm
right.
so glad you mentioned that in
sure.
your sermon.
Right.
Because there, for many years, and just in the interest of full disclosure, I have been diagnosed with mm-hmm. clinical depression. Mm-hmm. It runs in our family.
Yeah.
I have noticed that depression, it tends to be generational, it tends to be hereditary, and it also, for some reason, if it's a physical cause, it tends to change genders from generation to generation.
Mm.
My grandfather suffered terribly, we know that now in hindsight.
Right.
Back then, they didn't diagnose depression, much less treat it,
yeah, right.
and so he self-medicated with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 1971, my mom became extremely depressed for no apparent reason. She began to cry all day. She started having panic attacks, thought she was having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
She developed agoraphobia,
mm-hmm.
Which is a fear of leaving the house,
right.
and she became secluded. My dad recognized that there had to be a physical cause to this.
Right.
We found one of the leading pharmacists. We lived in St. Louis at the time, and we went to a doctor. He was one of the leading psychopharmacologists in St. Louis. She got on the right medication, and Phil, within days, the symptoms began to dissipate, literally within days.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not talking about mind-altering drugs.
No, right, yeah.
You know, I'm not talking about narcotics.
Right.
I'm talking about an actual antidepressant that corrects the chemical imbalance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there was my grandfather, there was my mom. Then in 1986, I started developing the same symptoms.
Mm.
And for a while, I literally thought that I had a brain tumor because of the way it was affecting my thinking,
right,
and the way that I felt. And thankfully, because of the good counsel of my parents and my family doctor, you know, they all recognized there's a depression going on here. It probably has a physical cause.
Right.
I got on the right medication, and again, the symptoms began to dissipate within days. Within days,
right?
That was in 1986, and I've been able to live a normal life.
Yeah,
since.
Yeah. I think most people would admit, like, most of us have been on steroids at some time or another.
Right.
Steroids really affect me and can make me really angry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's something that we probably all have, you know, experienced, where this symptom can come out of some other place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm glad you shared all that, because you do hear that often where people are, you know, just read your Bible more, just pray more,
right,
and you know, that can, you know, that can help,
right?
But if it's a real physical ailment,
then it's going to need to be treated.
It's going to need to be treated.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if somebody has COPD, you don't tell them, you know, hey, if you prayed more,
yeah, right,
you know, if you maybe if you went to church more,
right,
you know, maybe if you pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps,
yeah.
Now, if there is an emotional or a spiritual cause, the answer, of course, is to be found in the Word of God.
Right.
And you did a great job of presenting that yesterday from Psalms 42.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the complicated part about this sometimes, is sometimes it is a mixture of more than one thing.
Right.
Maybe there's a physical aspect, or maybe it's an emotional aspect, and then or spiritual aspect. And those things can all be mixed together.
That's right.
Sometimes you got to start somewhere.
And, right, exactly.
And at one of those, you know, but I liked how you started this with identifying the root cause.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the physical part of our nature affects the emotional part.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
When somebody is physically ill, it affects them emotionally.
Right.
And the physical and the emotional affect us spiritually. As
right.
you said, they're all interconnected. Mm-hmm. I've often used the illustration of drawing three circles on a piece of paper that all connect.
Right.
And there is a place where each of them overlaps the other.
Right.
And then right in the middle, there's a place where they all three connect.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it can be difficult to identify the root cause,
right,
whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the first step.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you've done a really good job of explaining it. I think most people probably have not heard a pastor go that in depth into how these things can all play together. I think a lot of, and I have these own things in my life where, as a pastor, I kind of avoid wanting to know more about it, because then I'd feel a responsibility to tackle it. And I think that probably is.
Right. We even have a saying based on that: ignorance is bliss.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so sometimes there's, I think, a tendency in some pastors to not want to really learn more about subjects
right.
like this, because then they'd be responsible, not, you know, not cognizantly, like at the front of their brain,
right.
but a hesitancy to tackle these issues.
And, right.
And also worried that, oh, well, you know, 10 church members are going to come and try and counsel with me about depression.
Right.
And that's what's great though, too, is I know, and you know this too, is that, you know, although we might have experience with these things, we're not experts in
That's
these
right.
fields. And so we do try our best to, you know, find resources for people and find people that we can send them to. And if you are somebody that feels like, especially in that either counselor or even a doctor situation, I can get you those references to people
Amen.
Within the area that we can help, whether it's a counselor that can telehealth with you or those different things like that, or even, you know, if it's on the spiritual side as well, there's wonderful books and resources out there that go to in depth into things like trauma or other, you know, guilt and shame. All these things play a part in this thing called depression.
And I think it's really important that we understand how widespread this problem is, and that we are not second class Christians, right, if we struggle.
Sure.
When you look at the Word of God and how many literally great, great men,
right,
suffered with depression, mm-hmm, it's an eye opener.
Yeah.
You know, Moses became depressed on one occasion to the point that he asked God to kill him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Jeremiah, Elijah, mm-hmm, the Apostle Paul. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul made the statement that we despaired even of life,
yeah,
which, mm-hmm, which means we did not even know if we could go forward.
Right.
We didn't know if we could get up the next day. We didn't know if we could go on.
Yeah.
And then you study the history of great men in more modern days. For example, the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who has been called perhaps the greatest Baptist preacher that ever lived, mm-hmm, he suffered with bouts of depression that were so deep that he described them as a deep black hole,
mm-hmm,
that he could not climb out,
right,
of. You know, Martin Luther, the great reformer, mm-hmm, suffered with severe bouts of depression, mm-hmm, extended bouts of depression. I read a story where on one occasion he was going through a deep depression, and his wife decided that she was going to have to do something. You, mm-hmm, may have heard this. And she dressed in all black and put a black veil over her face, obviously dressed for a funeral service. And she walked into the room where he was, and he looked at her and he said, "Who died?" Because she was obviously,
right,
dressed for a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Who died?" And she said, "You haven't heard? God died."
Oh, wow.
And he looked at her and he said, "Woman," with, you know, he was indignant.
Yeah, right,
he,
yeah,
said, "Woman, why would you say that God died? You know that's not true. You know that God did not die." And she looked at him and she said, "Then why don't you quit acting like it?"
Yeah, right.
Now, if his depression had a physical cause,
sure,
that,
right,
was cruel.
Right, 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 right.
But, mm, she did get the point across.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Sure.
And, mm, so, you know, that kind of leads to what you were saying yesterday about if there is an emotional or spiritual cause, the answer is in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said yesterday is exactly the remedy for an emotional or for a spiritual cause of depression.
Right.
And that is in Psalms chapter 42, beginning in verse 8, after he describes his depression in the first seven verses, then the first word in verse 8 is yet.
Mm.
Don't you love,
yeah,
that word?
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like the word but in the New,
right,
Testament.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, but,
right,
God, you know, well, what is it? For while we were yet, I'm sorry, that's not, it's Romans 6:23,
right,
where it talks about, well, I'm going blank all of a sudden.
But God commended his love.
But God,
yes,
commended,
yeah, yeah.
But,
right,
it talks about how sinful we are then, mm-hmm, but,
right,
God commendeth,
yeah,
his love toward us. That's Romans,
yeah,
5:8.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I was going to say. For the wages of sin is,
oh,
death.
Yes. Right.
But the gift,
yeah,
of God. Well, the word yet is used like that a lot in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He describes his depression in the first seven verses, and then in verse 8, yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to give the remedy, and it's the things that you mentioned yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to recognize God as your friend.
Right.
Sometimes when we're depressed, we say, "No one knows."
Mm-hmm.
If they did know, they wouldn't,
right,
understand.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did understand, they wouldn't care.
Right.
So no one knows, no one understands, no one cares.
Mm-hmm.
And the psalmist makes it real clear. Number one, God knows.
Right.
He knows exactly how I'm feeling. Number two, God understands.
Yeah.
He knows the cause of it. And number three, God cares.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we recognize in Psalms 42, we recognize God as our friend. Then we recognize him as our rock.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need something bigger than ourselves that we can anchor our life to.
Right.
And of course, we know that's the God of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is my friend. God is my rock. And then thirdly, as you mentioned yesterday, God is my hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the word hope in the Bible does not mean wishful thinking.
Yeah, right, right.
It means rock. It means assurance, rock-ribbed assurance, mm-hmm, in the promises,
mm-hmm,
of God. And, you know, someone has well said that man can live for a few days without food.
Right.
Man can live for, man can live for a few weeks without food.
Mm-hmm.
Man can live for a few days without water.
Mm-hmm.
Man can live for a few minutes without oxygen, mm-hmm, but man cannot live for 1 second without hope.
Yeah.
And,
right,
my hope, mm-hmm, is in God.
Yeah. Just a little, as we close out here, just a little like tips and little tricks to help, because sometimes it's a matter of being on a decline and having a hard time pulling your nose up,
right?
You know, and getting yourself kicked out of that nosedive. If you go to a doctor, a lot of times, and talk about these things, a lot of times what they'll start with is, do you exercise, you know, or do you get outside ever? And these are simple things of just, you know, your health, like we said, this is, can be a physiological problem,
right?
And a lack of exercise and increases your likelihood of mental illness problems. There's studies that talk about, and I don't have the statistics right off the top of my head, but something as simple as a 10-minute walk a day can increase your mental health just by doing something simple as that.
Yes.
Another thing, and I think you would agree, we are just so disconnected from people too. You mentioned going through a bout of depression and your parents being there for you. And with, you know, situations that many people have where they don't have that safety net or they don't have a community of people, sometimes talking about these things or
That's
even
right.
admitting that they're going on, is really a hard, thing to do because they don't see where they could go for, to start that conversation. And many times I've had those first conversations with somebody where they come and talk to me and I'm able to say, well, you know, because of this, and this, have you thought about, you know, whether you're struggling with depression? And sometimes that's the first, you know, a light switch is kicked and it's like, oh, well, maybe that is what's going on. Because sometimes when we just tell our story, even out loud, sometimes we understand it a little bit better. So, you know, sometimes these first steps are not anything dramatic or anything really even deep, but rather just doing things differently than you've done.
Yes.
And CR likes to say that, where they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's how we live, and we just go through life and just make it through the next day without asking ourselves how we're living and whether or not the things that we're doing are the things that are best for us. So, yeah, well, our hope is that you would find hope and get help for whatever type of depression you might be in, and also that you might remember that God is good and that He loves you and that, that He is in control.
And I love what you said yesterday about taking personal responsibility for your depression. Mm-hmm. That's really where it begins.
Right.
You know, yes, as a church and as individual believers, we're commanded to reach out to people who are struggling, and we want to do that.
Absolutely.
But we also have to take personal responsibility for our own depression, just like we do any other area of our health.
Yeah.
We have to take personal responsibility. And I've noticed that when I'm starting to slip back into depression, there's a couple of things I do. And thankfully, I have a wife that recognizes mm-hmm. these tendencies. And so she's able to really kind of encourage me to,
right.
you know, to discontinue those practices. Mm-hmm. Number one is to isolate myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tend to withdraw and I tend to want to be alone when I'm going through a depression.
Mm-hmm.
And she recognizes that as a symptom.
Right.
And the second thing is I tend to get really quiet. Mm-hmm. I tend to clam up. Mm-hmm. I'm normally a pretty gregarious person and I like to talk.
Right.
And never met a stranger. But when I'm going mm-hmm. through a depression, I tend to get very quiet.
Yeah.
And she notices that as well. Mm-hmm. And so we can recognize these symptoms in ourselves
right.
and we can take personal responsibility. Then the third symptom that I have is recurring thought patterns that I can't seem to get out of.
Right.
These thought, maybe it's a thought pattern of guilt mm-hmm. or regret
mm-hmm.
Over some past sin or some past
sure.
mistake. And I get into these ruts of these thought patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if I can recognize these things in myself, then
right.
that's a really big step in the right mm-hmm. direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, do you have anything else to close us out with?
Just what you said. I would really encourage people to take this seriously. If you feel
absolutely.
That you're struggling,
mm-hmm.
then I want to really encourage our listeners to reach out to somebody because help is available.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It really is.
Yep.
And you don't have to live that way.
Right.
You know, if I hadn't have reached out and sought help way back in 1986, mm-hmm. I would not have been able to pastor the same church for 30 years.
Right.
I was at the same church for a total of 36 years, and I would not have been able to do that. And even as the senior pastor for 30 years, when I was at my worst, I don't think I could have taught a boys' Sunday school class, much less pastored a church.
Sure.
But because I was able to get the help, because I listened to those who were speaking into my life, and because I was able to get help, I was able to go on to live a normal life.
Yeah.
And so I just want people to know you don't have to live this way. The help is available, and we're here to help.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and to maybe even help identify the root cause.
Sure.
Sometimes other people looking into your life can see those root causes more easily than what you can in terms of self-diagnosis.
Absolutely. Yeah, so our hope is that you would take that first step if that's where you're at, and or maybe, you know, you identify some of these symptoms in someone else, and maybe that is your red flag and your invitation to ask them, you know, how they're doing and get past the okay to the actual how they're doing. And sometimes it's like, no, really, how are you doing? And asking those questions.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've had to do a few funerals where the deceased actually took their own life.
Right.
And so many times the family will say, well, you know, looking back, I saw the signs, but I didn't do anything.
Yeah. Right.
And you don't want to be there.
No,
you don't want to get to that place.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we love you guys, and we hope that this has helped in some way. And this closes out our CBC Next for Inside Out. And next Sunday, we start our Christmas series, and we look forward to jumping into that. We're going to be talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth, because we're going to be able to get into real deep into the Christmas character. So be ready to join us this Sunday. It's snowing out today, so it's kind of already feeling a little bit Christmassy. So we're excited about celebrating the birth of the Savior with you. We'll see you on Sunday.